Amen. Praise Jesus. Don't you feel good? Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to get ready to take up the offering as you finish greeting everybody. How many of you are excited to give to the Lord today in his house? Amen. Man, let's be generous people. I believe God will honor that as we're generous and give to him. And how many of you know he gives seed to the sower? Amen. So that you can sow and then it comes back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. Shall men give into your bosom. 844-935-2940. Man, your sowing makes a difference because we're seeing the fruit of that every single week. Amen. A lot of great things coming up too. VBS is going to be coming up soon. So there's just a lot of great things that you can, that all your giving goes straight to the work of the ministry and what Jesus is doing in this house. So let's, Logan, let's go back real quick one more time. There's the QR code. Thank you. To give online, JesusHouseChurch.org, if you want to give that way. Of course, there's tithe envelopes in the seat back in front of you. We believe in the tithe and the offering, man. Maybe ask the Lord how you can give cheerfully today above and beyond just your normal tithe. Amen? Three amens. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Michelle. I love you. Got my usher over there. You can take the tithe envelope in the seat back in front of you. Let's pray. And we got some very, very, very important announcements that I'll try to breeze through. But we've got a lot of amazing things happening in the next couple months that I believe that we can all be a part of and serve. How many of you know we believe in serving in the house of God? Amen. Let's pray over your offering. Thank you for your generosity. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless now every giver in this house, every person in this house. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you supply seed to the sower, that you've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. Lord, help us to have the right perspective on this, knowing, Lord Jesus, God, that those who sow bountifully will reap bountifully. God, thank you that it comes back pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Lord Jesus, do something in our hearts to help us, Lord Jesus, to be generous people so that we might see our city and region changed and transformed by the power and the glory of God. In Jesus' mighty name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. VBS, while I'm on that topic, it's going to be June 12th through the 14th. The theme is galaxy. And Caitlin has told me to really reiterate this. I know they're passing the buckets, but take a moment to look at those dates and those times for Vacation Bible School. Typically in the last 2 years, we've done it at the end of July. Somebody say middle of June. Middle of June is when we're going to do VBS this year, June 12th through the 14th, 6 to 8:30. It's a weekend VBS, so that Friday night, 6 to 8:30. Saturday morning, 9 to 12:30. 9 a.m. to 12, that says 9 p.m. to 12:30. We're going to change that. We're not there that late. 9 p.m., that would say a.m. on the other one. But anyway, 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. that morning, Saturday. So you're not going to be sleeping during that time. You can be serving. Sunday, June 14th at 10 a.m. is our celebration. That Sunday morning where we celebrate and the kids showcase a little bit of what they've learned. And every year we've had multiple people, multiple children give their lives to Jesus at Vacation Bible School. Come on, that's really what it's about. So on that correction there, Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., June 12th to the 14th. So how can I volunteer? Scan this QR code. Take your phone out now. I would encourage you, scan that. You don't have to be on kids' team to serve, but you can scan that, and we'll place you somewhere. There's multiple different areas, no matter your age, that you can serve in and be a part of VBS. Now, the next slide is our kid registration. So it's preschool, so age four, they're potty trained up to completed fifth grade. Scan that QR code and you can register your kid. And that helps us because VBS is pushed up a little bit. So Caitlin's going to really be starting, and her team of helpers that are helping with VBS really starting early with that. Mother's Day is right around the corner. How many of you appreciate all of our moms in Jesus' house? So Mother's Day, we're going to do something a little bit extra this year. We'll have our brunch on May 9th, all right? May 9th on Wednesday, I got it to them late. That's my fault. There'll be a QR code that will go in that little square right there. So come Wednesday night and next Sunday morning, scan the QR code. You can register online. But go ahead. I wanted to announce this, even though the QR code is not there, because I want you to mark your calendars and make plans to be there. We'll do giveaways and prizes, especially if we're doing Bunko with it as well. So Mother's Day, May 9th at 10 a.m. And then that Sunday at 10 a.m., the Sunday right after, we will be celebrating our moms. We love our care team, gives away gifts. It's just a great, incredible day. So come be a part of Mother's Day at Jesus' house. Amen? What else I got up there, Logan? Become class is May 3rd, 8:30 a.m. I mentioned it earlier. It's our discipleship. It's the first step of discipleship. There's also other discipleship opportunities. Coffee and donuts are provided. Come before service. Register at that back welcome table. That same day, we'll have the road home after service. Lunch is provided for the road home. If you're interested, you say, hey, I want to be a part of Jesus' house. I want to know where I can plug in, serve, and volunteer. This is essentially a membership type class. You might have heard it called other things. We call it the road home. So come, lunch is provided. I do Q&A. You can ask any question you have about the church. We try to be very transparent and open so you know what happens here at the church, for all the way from governance to how can I serve and what outreaches do you have. All right? Evangelism nights, we're going to do those in June. They'll replace our regularly scheduled Wednesday service. So go down to the river with us June 10th and July 22nd. You notice one of those is the week of VBS. We need that time to prep and get our sanctuary ready. But be a part of that. That also falls under discipleship. Boldly go and tell the good news of Jesus. We go find people. We pray for them. It's a beautiful time. Amen? Amen. All right, Baptism Sunday, May 31st. The meeting is May 24th, right after service. No lunch with that one, but we make it a 30-minute meeting. Come be a part, and you can sign up to be baptized if you have not already. All right? Amen. Let's pray. A lot of exciting things happening. More to come, too, with Father's Day. More to come down the road with Church Picnic. We're going to have all that wonderful stuff this summer, and I'll be announcing that soon. Norman's ready to cook. Somebody shout amen to that. Hallelujah. For Church Picnic, that'll be the last weekend in June. So mark your calendars for it. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me to preach the word today. Lord, show me where to pierce and show me where to heal. God, we thank you for what you've already spoken in this house. How powerful is your presence. Lord, we know that this is true food and true bread. Help me to wield the sword skillfully. Lord, I pray, Jesus, that it would have impact in people's life, God, that they would hear the message of Jesus and be transformed, that they would have the word written upon their hearts so that they would not sin against you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Matthew 28, let's dive into the word of God. Let's get to work. Matthew 28, we're going to talk about the marks of a disciple of Jesus. I believe that Jesus instructs us, how many of you believe that, under the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. That includes this house. How many of you believe that? That includes this house. And he doesn't leave you powerless and alone to achieve this mark and this goal. He sent the power of his Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, and they were filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, so that they spilled out into the streets and they became boldly go and tell type of people. And I believe what Jesus is doing in this house, first of all, he's saving people. Isn't that incredible? People are getting baptized. Our kids and our youth are being raised in the fear of the Lord. Lives are being changed. People are being restored. Outreach and evangelism is being done. We're trying to fulfill everything God has called and mandated us to do as a house by the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit. How many of you still believe in the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost to achieve what needs to be done beyond natural means? Something happens when the Spirit of God comes upon you and you surrender your life. You begin to see things and do things beyond your natural means to fulfill the commission that God has placed on your life. I talked about it on Wednesday. The Bible says that he makes his grace work, his exceedingly abundantly great grace work towards you so that you are made perfect for every single good work and you can do more than you could ever ask, thought, or imagine because his great grace is extended towards you.
So we talked about working hard. We talked about being consistent. We talked about putting God first. We talked about moving from just the milk to the meat to the maturity of the faith in Jesus Christ that happens through the exceedingly great grace and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that he puts upon your life to do far more above what you think you can do in your natural means. That's why when I see you, when people here see you, we believe no matter what you've come in with this into this house with today, when God's great grace showers over you and the Holy Spirit empowers you, then you can do far more than you could ever thought. Thanks be to God that nothing is impossible with Jesus Christ to those that believe. Somebody say amen if you believe it. Are you thankful that you don't serve just a far distant God, but one that works his exceedingly great power towards you in every way? And part of that is we all fall under this umbrella of being a disciple of Jesus, not just a fan. Not just a distant viewer. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Not someone who only goes so far and say, I'm not going to give this part, but someone who is really a disciple, a learner that sits under the learning of Jesus Christ and the direction of the Spirit so that you can become mature in the faith in every single area. I believe this is important, family. You say, what's my calling? Well, your first calling is to love Jesus and be discipled. Somebody say amen. And transformed and to become more like him. You're being transformed into the image of Jesus. You'll find that when your identity is found in Jesus, your calling and your gifting will make room for you because you've committed to serve him. And he speaks to you about the direction of your life when you've given everything to him. So more than your title, you're a disciple. Somebody say amen. More than a calling, you're a lover of Jesus. More than the things you do for God, you learn to be who God has called you to be as a disciple of him. And the point is, how can you make disciples if you're not a disciple yourself? Because in the context of this scripture in Matthew 28, he's telling his disciples to go and make disciples. Now, the problem is this. I sat through college courses on all this, and it was good, but it was like almost people wanted to take this and deconstruct the function of the church. That's not true. Somebody say amen. It's important that discipleship is an active role within the local body of the church. Somebody say amen. Because God is building his church, somebody say amen. Now, the problem is that's why it's important to be committed and dedicated to a body, wherever that is, that preaches Jesus, because discipleship organically happens when you are around other believers that are exalting the name of Jesus and heading the same direction that you are heading. That's why it hurts my heart when people take time to criticize the capital C church. Yes, there's a time for correction. Yes, there are things that need to be straightened out in the body of Christ. But how many of you know God is still using the church as his vehicle to make disciples of all nations across this world? Matthew 28, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. How many of you know he has all authority? That's why when we sang that song, that last song today, we're exalting the name of Jesus. And you notice the atmosphere completely is enveloped with his presence because all authority has been given to him. We are little Christs. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? That's exactly what Christian means. You're a little Christ. You're a follower of Jesus. You exalt him. You admonish him. You lift him up. And when you do that, his presence comes and inhabits the place. And you begin to realize he is holy. He is wonderful. He is mighty. He is righteous. My whole life belongs to him. Now go and tell what you've experienced in his presence with the family of believers. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he gives you authority. Look at verse 19. By commissioning you. Go. Somebody say go. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. It doesn't exclude you, family. If you work at the grocery store, it doesn't exclude you. If you're a doctor, it doesn't exclude you. If you're a pastor, it doesn't exclude you. Somebody say amen. If you're a teacher, it doesn't exclude you. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there we see where Jesus shows to us and reveals us the power of the Trinitarian Godhead. It's important, family, that you realize that as a Christian and as a believer, you are not just a distant fan. You are supposed to be intimately acquainted with him as a true disciple. Come on, somebody. How many of you believe that? That's why. When people, they might even flow in gifting. I'll go there. They might even flow in great gifting. But if they're not truly knowing Jesus, that's a problem. Because the giftings and the callings of God are irrevocable. That's what the Bible says. His gift can flow through you. But do you really know him? The Bible says when you stand before him, he'll say, depart from me. To some he will. Depart from me, for I never knew you. But people at Jesus' house, somebody say amen, are going to be rooted disciples and followers of Jesus. And the best is yet to come for us as we go and make disciples upon disciples upon disciples so that it is hard to go to hell from Owensboro and the tri-state region. Somebody say amen if you believe it today. We may not be able to do everything, but God has called you here for such a time as this, so that our city, not so you can just sit on a chair and get comfortable, but so that you can go and make disciples, so that somebody else can get free from the mess they're in. Somebody take 10 seconds and praise God if you believe it. Hallelujah. We are an active church. Somebody say amen. It don't have to be sanctioned by the church for you to tell somebody about Jesus on your workplace. Go and make disciples. I don't know about you, but I will not stop till I see our whole city and region. Yes, there's amazing churches in town. That's not what I'm saying. But we have a mandate on this house to go and reach the lost. Somebody say amen. It's not church as normal. It's not just show up and hear a few songs and leave. It's actually real Christian application and faith that takes the message of Jesus seriously. So John Bill, one day I can stand before God and he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. You say, well, he's a little amped up for me. This is too much for me, Pastor. This is too much for me. No, you need some of that. Somebody say amen. I gotta be who God has called me to be. You need some fire in your life to say it doesn't matter what you've been through. God called you to be a disciple. Go therefore. Go therefore. Not sit therefore. Go therefore. Somebody say amen. Within the confines and the body of the believers. See, they're not mutually exclusive. And that's a problem within the church. People say, I don't need the church. I can tell about Jesus and have Bible in my home. You need family. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I'm sorry if that offends you. But you need family. You need people that model Jesus for you, that stoke the fire within you, that stir the gift up within you. You need that, family. You're a body fitly joined together, not separated. You're a body fitly joined together. So I believe that Jesus' house can be more than just a merely attendee church, but a go and tell church. That is a mark of a disciple. Somebody say amen if you believe it. I feel fire in me today. Hallelujah. Make disciples. You baptize them is what it says. What goes along with making disciples? Baptizing them. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded. Guess what? If you want to be disciples, be discipled, be teachable. Somebody say amen. Amen. We'll be teachable in our workplace, at school. But it's like when someone begins to speak into your life about spiritual things, you get offended and we all have an opinion about it. Be teachable. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you want to be a true disciple like Timothy was to Paul, then be teachable. teach them is what the word says, to observe all that I commanded you. And here's the promise. It might be fearful at first, but behold, I'm with you, the word of God says. Jesus said, behold, I'm with you. I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go so far with you that I'm with you to the very end of the age. Man, that's good news, family. That should be empowering for our body of believers. That should say that the discipleship initiative we're doing here, Jesus is with us, Brian. He's with us. Somebody say amen. He's for us. He wants to see people grow to maturity. He wants to see true marks of discipleship. Can I just give you a pat on the back today? When we started worship today, how many of you felt the glory just come down as soon as worship started? Because true disciples come ready to worship the King. Somebody say amen. They don't take 3 songs to get them hyped up. They come in discipled and ready. Somebody say amen. Ready to worship Jesus. Ready to praise him. They understand that what they've gone through doesn't dictate their praise. Somebody say amen. They understand that what they're facing doesn't dictate their worship. They stick true to the word of God that says, I praise him. I'm instant in season and out of season. Said, I'm going to go and praise my God, and I'm going to leave here and go and make disciples for the kingdom of God. If you believe it, take 10 seconds and praise Jesus in this house. We need to be disciples conformed to the image of Christ. Unity of faith among the church. I am committed that church can be unified in this city and in this region, in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. And some of you won't understand that, but someone who's lived here for 11 years now, God has placed us here for a reason, and we will shepherd and protect the unity of this church. Somebody say amen. Till we all come to the unity and the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Mature disciples. Are you hearing what I'm saying with spiritual ears today? You have more purpose, family, than just coming and sitting on a chair. You have been called to be a disciple, to dig your heels in. Somebody say amen. When people come to, I feel like preaching now. When people come to this house, they see people who are joyful and willing to serve. They've seen some people that have walked through hell in their life and some really bad things, but they still praise God. Somebody say amen. They still worship God. They still choose to go and make disciples because they know the character of God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This house is an equipping ground where you are marked as a true disciple of Jesus Christ, and we will defend the unity of that at all costs in Jesus' mighty name. You're a learner. You act as a little Christ. What else does the Bible say about disciples? We'll talk about this over the next few weeks. You abide in his word. If you're a true disciple, the Bible says that you'll love and abide in his word. That the word becomes so precious to you that you feel like your day is off if you haven't gotten into the word. A true disciple loves this word. We love the presence and we love the word. We are full gospel. Somebody say amen if you believe that. You take everything and you apply it to your life. You love to read. You love to pray. You love to learn. This is marks of a disciple. You love one another. Jesus said, you'll know that you're a disciple by the way that you love one another. That's John 13:35. Abiding in his word is John 8:31. You boldly go and tell the book of Acts. We must understand the whole book of Acts is how to go and tell about Jesus Christ. That's why it's called the Acts of the Apostles. Somebody say amen. Not the sedentary lifestyle of the apostles. The Acts of the Apostles. Boldly go and tell. Matthew 28:19. We'll touch on these over the next few weeks. The mark of a disciple, though, that I want to really reiterate in the rest of my time today is, though, a disciple clings to Jesus. You hold to Jesus. How many of us wake up and we think about the Lord? Amen. Do you know you can do that?
When you get saved, it's not just Sunday and Wednesday, although they are very important. Y'all showed up today. Somebody say amen. That's good. But it's a waking up and you think about him. You want to learn from him. You say, I don't know how to do that, Pastor. I guarantee you, you crack open this word, the Spirit will begin to deal with you and you'll become hungrier and hungrier and hungrier for the word of God. And you'll detest and abhor the other things of the world. You say, well, Pastor, I'm starting to lean towards some things of the world. How's your word life? How's your prayer life? Because a disciple truly takes of Jesus, takes his yoke upon you. And the Bible says, and learn of me. Oh, come on, somebody. You're a student of the word. Somebody say amen. You don't have to be a pastor to be a student of the word. Love the word of God. Man, I feel fire. I don't know what's going on with me today. You have to love to learn Jesus, to love it. See, who cares what people say about you, about the church? If we preach Jesus, people's lives are going to be changed, and they're going to come in here and experience it. They might have heard some crazy things, but if they come up in and experience a real God who loves them and people who care about them and see that they're being discipled and transform them, you're not going to leave them. This in here, somebody say amen, is better than anything you can taste out there. If you believe it, take 5 seconds and praise him. A disciple clings. You cling to the cross. You deny yourself. You take up the cross. That's Bible. And you follow Jesus. Peter said it this way, John 6, 66 through 68. He said, after this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. That's true. There's a mixture, somebody say amen. When you read the teachings of Jesus, there's a mixture of people that walked away and people that clung to him. Now, this is one of the biggest things I see in that the enemy tries to infiltrate you with as a Christian and a believer, especially if you've given your life to Jesus for the first time or you get baptized. Listen, my prayer is those people weigh on my heart, because my prayer is that you would cling to Jesus as a disciple. Don't let anything detour you to the point where you get out of church, you get out of the word, you get out of prayer, you get out of community. It is a recipe, are you hearing me, family, today? For the enemy to come in. You will always have someone try to give you another priority in your life other than Jesus. But how many of you can say that those have been planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God? Somebody say amen. Happy is the one whose God is the Lord. That's what the Bible says. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And I hope you hear my heart. This is not some legalistic thing to get people in the pews. It's the fact that we are literally plucking people out of the fire. Somebody say amen. We are plundering hell and populating heaven, and we will not stop till the devil is utterly defeated. Somebody say amen. In our city and region. Hallelujah. I grew up 30 minutes down the road. Something began to stir in me, in my heart, that said, I don't want to see the people I know and love go to a fiery hell. I want to see them abound in grace and good works. Somebody say amen. I want them to see them marked as a disciple that truly loves Jesus and will go into the world to tell about their Savior. Look what he says. John 6, 66 through 68. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walk with him. He's talking about his drink of his blood, eat of his flesh. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? He's not going to force your hand, family. You have to make a decision. Do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, I love this. One of my favorite scriptures, Brian. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We don't have to preach anything different here. Jesus, somebody say amen.
We don't have to do something fancy or elaborate. Yes, we'll do it well, but we don't have to do something fancy or elaborate or a gimmick. Jesus is enough. Somebody say amen. Where else would you go? Because Jesus has the words of eternal life. Now, I'm going to speak to anybody in this room that's teetering on wondering, what do I do? Every devil that tries to lie to you, I feel an unction from God, and tell you that the world is better and there's something better in your old life. Let me tell you something. Where else would you go that has the words of eternal life? Come to Jesus. He has the words of eternal life. Somebody say amen. And he just keeps getting better. How many of you can testify that you've been through some stuff, but you clung to Jesus? Somebody say amen. Woo-hoo. And his love is better than life itself. Somebody say amen. I'm going with Jesus everywhere he goes. That's what the Bible says. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. It's a clinging. Your life becomes a clinging to Jesus. You hold on to him. Now, that's not to doubt your salvation. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? It's not to get you to fear and think, well, one day just God's going to leave me. No, he says he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. What I'm saying is, though, once you've got a hold of this life with him, become a disciple and one that clings like Peter did and said, where else can I go except to Jesus? Another one, they dropped their nets and they followed him. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's why I never get tired of when we give an altar call, people that decide to drop their nets and follow him. Somebody say amen. That's why we can never just be so inwardly focused that we forget, well, they're preaching the gospel again. No, every time we hear the gospel, it's life-changing for somebody. That when you see somebody literally, Brian, choose to be a disciple and drop their nets and cling to Jesus and say that nothing can pluck me from his hand. Somebody say amen. I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. When they decide to do that, it does something on the inside of you because it resonates as what a true disciple does. They drop their nets and follow him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. It happens again. I love how concise it is. In the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them immediately. Somebody say immediately. Immediately, they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. They clung to Jesus everywhere he went. And when stuff got tough and teachings got hard about drink, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, they said, no, we're not going anywhere. You have the words of life. Let me stop there. How many of you know we all walk through circumstances of life? All of us. But the mark of maturity is saying, I'm not going to look anywhere else. I'm going to look to Jesus. As hard as it is. As tough as it is in the moment sometimes, Jesus is so beautiful and so wonderful that you can't look anywhere else. If you're going through difficulty at your job, in your marriage, in your home, in your family, in your finances, look to Jesus. Cling to him. That's what a disciple does. Somebody say amen. We see discipleship modeled in the Old Testament. Moses and Joshua. Joshua was discipled by Moses. And he took it even to another level. He stayed in the tent of meeting beyond what Moses would. A good disciple learns and goes beyond. Paul and Timothy. Paul admonished Timothy in the faith. And the teacher, listen, this is important. A true disciple doesn't lord over the other person that they're a discipler. They say things like this in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Logan. Be imitators of me. As I am of Christ. See, a true discipler will walk in humility to say, I might not have all the answers, but God has commanded me in Matthew 28:19 to go and make disciples of all nations. You hear what I'm saying? And so they are empowered by the Spirit to do that. And they say, guess what? I might not have all the answers, but imitate me as I imitate Christ. The best thing you can do as a discipler is live and cling to Jesus. Live like Jesus, cling to Jesus. And when you do that, you can live a life that's pure and holy before God so that people imitate you as you imitate Christ. That's why people get hurt, family, because they see people that say they're Christian, but they're not imitating Christ. Somebody say amen. Now, that's not an excuse to not follow God. We like the first part. But that's not an excuse to not follow God because someone else did drop the ball. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Somebody say amen. God is unchanging. Jesus will never fail you. Something has to happen where that glaze over your eyes goes away, where you see, man, I have fervor to live for Jesus as a true disciple of him. I'm almost done. Jade, if you can help me. One of the best ways to cling to him, and this is just natural understanding, is to be in proximity. A disciple grows by being in proximity. If you spend extended time away from the body, you'll notice it. Oh, yeah, I got two amens. Thank you, Dad. If you spend extended time away from the body, are you hearing me? Yes. It's harder to imitate what you can't see. You got to cling. Why are you at the church all the time? Because I understand I got to cling to Jesus, and I got to cling to one another. I got to see discipleship modeled in my life. Be in proximity. Listen to the word. Grow in the word. Spend time in prayer. Be close to Jesus. Be close to one another. I think one of the greatest tactics of the enemy is to try to get you to pull back from community. When he's called you to be fitly joined together in the body. And God uses people within covenant community, within church relationships to accomplish it. That's why we've talked about this year, Vision Sunday, the church, we need space. Somebody say amen. We need a building. We've got a van, praise God. Thank God we got that. Somebody say amen. We are already seeing, y'all, signs, miracles, and wonders, even these last few weeks. The testimonies that have been reported to me of healing. I still believe in healing. And we also want to be totally mature in discipleship. It's part of what we're doing. It takes place within the Christian community and the body. Don't segregate that from church. Make it a part of your church life. Get in close proximity. When Jesus presented tough teaching, some walked away. But the ones who walked closest to him got the deepest revelation. Because see, when Jesus would teach in parables, what he would do is he actually said it in his word. He would say, he explained the reason he was teaching in parables. And he said, guess what, disciples? You are blessed because you have been revealed to the mysteries of God. Man, oh, to be a disciple. Oh, to be a disciple. Not just a fan. Not just a distant viewer. A disciple. Somebody that clings to Jesus. Man, I love you, family. I visibly see in every one of you God stirring something for you to actually follow him closer than you ever have before. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? I do. When I walk into the house, into this house, I feel something churning in the spirit that God's gonna pour out something in this house that we cannot contain. And when he does that, he's going to commission you. He already has to be a go and tell person that takes what has been given and deposited on the inside of you to go and tell the message of Jesus everywhere that you go. I believe what Jesus, and I'm just going to say it because I feel like prophesying. I believe what Jesus is going to do in this house cannot be contained. Somebody say amen. I'm not just saying that because everybody said, I believe it 110%. If we stay the course, if we cling to Jesus, what we are experiencing in this house is only the tip of the iceberg, family. People are going to come to real saving knowledge of Jesus. They're going to get on fire for him. They're going to have fervor for him. They're going to want to be rooted and planted. And all the stuff you've been through, God's going to take you and heal you and restore you, family, and make you a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Look what it says, Romans 12, 9 through 13. The ones that walked closest to him, Jesus pulled them aside and he would explain the parable to them. And he said, see, when he would talk to other people in parables, they would walk away confused. And he quoted Old Testament scripture and he said, seeing they don't perceive and hearing they don't hear. But the ones that, oh, I feel the Lord, the ones that clung to Jesus, Justin, and walked with him and knew him, were revealed the mysteries of God. Let me tell you something, family. This Christian life has much, much more than you may have experienced before. I've seen God's presence move, and I still know there's so much more. So much more. There is so much more than an hour and going home and eating potluck. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? There's so much more for true disciples of Jesus. There's so much more than going to work and sitting, and that's good. Working is good. Work hard. We talked about it Wednesday. But then going home and eating Cheetos and watching Netflix and doing it all again the next day. There's more, family. There's more when you get rooted in family as a disciple of Jesus. Now, I'm almost done. No moving. Here we go. Very important scripture. Romans 12, 9 through 13. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. Verse 11, 10. Thank you. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Instructions to the body. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent. Guess what? Church can be full of people who are fervent and zealous for God. That's what it means to be a disciple, family. Not just, no, I'm fervent for Jesus. I'm not slothful in my zeal. Guess what? I wake up on Sunday, thank God I get to go be with the family and praise and worship Jesus. Thank God on Wednesday I get to pray with the family. Thank God I get to bring my kids to church and get them planted in the house of God. Somebody say amen. Thank God that the youth get to grow up in Jesus. Thank God that people are coming to the knowledge of Jesus, that we're fulfilling the commission and the mark of a disciple to cling to him. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. That's why, family, church gets a lot better when you quit putting it at hands length, arms length. Invest. Somebody say amen. Get a part of it. Dig in. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. One more verse. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. All good advice for the body, or commands for the body of Christ. Now, here's where I want to end. One more scripture. Psalm 63, 7 through 8. We'll skip that one, Logan. It talks about your soul clinging to God. But if we do this, family, I feel this in my spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 13. If we learn to grow in discipleship and cling to Jesus, look at what happens. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. If you cling to him, you get this. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Somebody say amen. Are you hearing this? If you cling as a disciple, He begins to show you the secret and hidden wisdom. I don't know about you, but that just blows my mind. The secret and hidden wisdom of God, decreed before the ages for our glory. So when you preach the gospel and somebody gets saved, family, that is no small deed. That's coming to pass what God decreed and declared before the ages for our glory. Verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, but as it is written, now this is where I want to end, family, what no eye has seen, what nor ear heard, nor the heart of a man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Somebody say amen if you believe it today. What does that mean? It means that if you cling to Jesus as a disciple, Brian, he imparts to you the hidden wisdom that was decreed before the age even began. And if they would have known that, they wouldn't crucify him. But thank God he went to the cross, because now, for no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him and cling to him and are discipled by him. Somebody say amen. And who walk with him and say, I'm never going to leave you, Jesus, because you never left me and you never forsaked me. I don't know about you, but we're going to get ready to pray. But that stirs something deep, Josh, on the inside of me, that says there's so much more beneath the surface. We haven't even begun to imagine about what God can do in this city. Somebody say amen. And in our church and in our region, teach us, Lord, as we cling to you, the maturity and the wisdom and the mysteries of God. How many of you want to see it come to pass? How many of you want to see your family get saved? Somebody say amen. Your friends get saved. Your lost loved ones get saved. People be discipled and start clinging to Jesus. I want to see it, family. I'm contending for it, and I'm believing for it. Stand to your feet all across this room. Let's lift our hands to heaven, and let's just ask Jesus right now. Come on, be fervent is what that scripture says. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in zeal. Be zealous for God. Cling to Jesus. Man, maybe there's some stuff in your own life that you realize, man, I've got to learn to cling to him more in this area. There's things that I need to do to make sure that I'm putting him first in this area. Then let's begin to pray for that right now. And let's believe that what no eye has seen nor ear heard, we're going to see it come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, pray 2 minutes. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this house. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this people. Lord, let us be true disciples that are marked as true disciples. If I were you, I'd pray right now. Let's be marked as true disciples, Lord Jesus. Lord, let us be the people that cling to you, Lord Jesus, that hold fast to you, that immediately drop our nets and follow after you. That when you call us, Lord Jesus, that we wouldn't be slothful or reserved, but we would go after you 110%, Lord Jesus. Lord, let us abide in your word. Let us love one another, Jesus. Let us cling to you. Where else can we go, Jesus? You have the words of life. God, I thank you, Jesus. And as we get close to you, in close proximity with you and with other people, Lord, you're going to begin to reveal to us the deep things of God. And I thank you for that, Jesus. And I bless your people. Now lift your hand for the blessing. Lord, I bless them now in Jesus' mighty name. Bless them and keep them. Go with them. May your face shine upon them. May your countenance be lifted towards them. And give them peace. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you that we're being transformed into true disciples. In Jesus' name, come on, all God's people said, amen, amen. Give God 30 seconds of your best praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hey, I love you, family. I'm glad you joined us today. If you gave your life to Jesus, which is amazing, John Bill's going to meet you over here at that New Believers in Baptism table. Get plugged in with Brian as well on discipleship. I love you. We'll see you Wednesday at 6:30. VBS, Logan, if we could throw that up, kid registration and volunteer registration, very important. Take your tags. Be dismissed. I love you. I'll see you Wednesday. Greet somebody and tell them you're happy they came to the house of God.